I've gotten tired of watching the news. Have you? Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the most irritating part of the news lately, and most of the talk shows in the sense, and it's this role that people take on, and it's called the fact checkers. Not fat, F-A-T, but F-A-C-T, the fact checkers. And, you know, like, we know this is true, or we know this isn't true, or, you know, based on how people say things. But, you know, even among Christians, there have been a kind of fact checking. Way before I was in college, there was a great debate. It was a Bible debate. It was a debate over the praetorium. Does that name ring a bell to you? It's not outside Nashville, I can tell you that. The praetorium is mentioned in some transcripts. It's where Jesus was on trial before Pilate. And in all the excavations up till a certain year, they hadn't found it. And the debate went like this: the Bible's wrong. It isn't there. It's one of many errors in Scripture. And believers were going, it was there at the time. And the fact checkers were going, prove it. You know. And the believers were saying, we take it on faith. And the fact checker says, your faith is falsely founded. That's the way it went. Guess what? One year they found it. And the believers, because they were believers, they didn't go, nah, 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 nah. Because they knew that would be ungodly. But in our sinful nature, we were going, yes! But how, even with the latest discovery, did you see that? In the Holy Sepulchre? Have you seen it on the internet? Isn't it wild? It's the latest, greatest, hottest topic among Christians since the Shroud of Turin. You know about the Shroud, right? That was to be the wrappings, the shawl, and all the burial cloth over Jesus. And there was a debate about that. And they said it isn't. And then they said it wasn't. And then they said it couldn't be. And then they said it is. And then they said it wasn't. And then they said maybe. And they went through that. And the latest discovery in this Holy Sepulchre is where the tomb of Jesus was. And people go into this church and they go into the grotto and they worship. And there they think, after excavation, doing some remodeling and safety and all kinds of shoring up in this holy site, they think they found the slab of stone that Jesus' body rests on. And now there's another debate. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. And someone's going to say, prove it. You ever had anybody tell you to prove it, prove something? Yeah? You know, we get challenged in all kinds of ways to prove the truth. But for those who don't want to believe the truth, can you ever really prove it? The answer is no. They will accuse you of trickery, of some sort of shenanigans, some sort of foolishness. If they really do not want to believe, they will not believe. And their course of behavior and their thinking is set on that principle that something is not true. In the time of the Reformation, Martin Luther was into the Scriptures, and he read Romans. And when he got to these kinds of verses that you heard today, he went, whoa. Because the message at that time was, you could never be sure, and you had to do more work, and you could never guarantee, and there was no freedom. And he wasn't surprised that there was little hope. And so today's Bible verse is from the gospel reading. You have it in front of you on your bulletin, where Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And the problem is, as it was in that day, how do you define freedom? We in America and our current politics and the current social media and the current thinking, we describe freedom in many different ways. It's the freedom of speech. It's the freedom to carry arms. It's the freedom to believe what I want to believe. It is the freedom to do what I want. It is the freedom of self-determination. It is the freedom to smoke pot. It is the freedom to cuss. It is the freedom to be anti-government, anti-establishment. It is the freedom to protest. But it's amazing, with all these freedoms, we still have a lot of demands, don't we? For little to poor work effort, I want a full paycheck. You know, that's in our world today, isn't it? In our world today, it's not my job. It's not my job to pick up after myself. It's somebody else's job. I was a grocery clerk. A bag boy is the fancy title, but actually I had this really seven-word title, you know, for under the union at the time. I'm in high school, and I had to pay $127 to join a union to bag groceries. It was crazy. For minimum wage. And with that freedom of the union came all kinds of rules, and one of the rules was I could not help out a checker. If something didn't have the price on it, this is before barcodes were really fancy, I was not allowed to go on the other side of the register into the aisle and look up the price of mayonnaise if it was on sale, because it would be posted on the shelf. If I did, I would have been fined by the union, and the store would have been fined. But if I didn't, the grocery manager could have fired me for being uncooperative, unhelpful, even though he would never say for not doing the price check, I could have lost a job. What kind of freedom did a union really bring? It didn't help the store. And most of what I made went into the union fee. So how did it help a high school student? And yet, in our society, we think the union gives us power and the union gives us freedom. Interesting, isn't it? Theologically, what kind of freedom do we look for today? Biblically speaking, what is it that we crave? One, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Okay? Freedom. Freedom to spend my day as I want. Right? Okay? I don't have to. Okay? Two, I can believe what I want and it doesn't interfere with my walk with God. Three, we're redefining what is sin, right? Cussing is a bad habit. It doesn't fall into the sin department. You know that OMG stuff that you see a lot? You know, it stands for, oh my God. You know, do you understand that that is a sin? It is not using God's name reverently. It is not honoring God's name as it is holy. It is not showing proper respect to God. It is more of an exclamation point than it is a praise of the Lord, even if the person is saying it who is a believer. If you bang your thumb with a hammer and yell the name Jesus Christ, are you really invoking a blessing of the Lord? I don't think so. You know, we would have more Christians if that was true, wouldn't it? Every do-it-yourselfer would become a believer in a heartbeat. You know, just give them a home project to do. Bang! Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes. Only if it was that kind of freedom. We in the world today, we don't want the church telling us what is true and what isn't true. We want to decide for ourselves, and we feel we're capable, empowered to do it ourselves. It's part of our self-determination freedom that comes under the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and, you know, or some document. Isn't it amazing? And yet, we think we're unique. We think we're modern. We think we're hip. We think we're with the times. We think we're the latest, greatest. And yet we parrot, that is, we mimic the same thing the Jews said in the days when Christ was on the earth. And how long ago was that? We aren't that new. Instead, we are still offensive, just as they were. We don't want to rely on Jesus Christ alone for life and salvation. We are the five-year-old that says, I do it myself. You know? Do y'all remember when you did this when you were five? I know it was a long time ago for many of us, but, you know, that independence. Maybe we remember it in our children. Maybe we've seen it in our grandchildren. And it will be there for our great-grandkids as well. I do it myself. So what is it that the Reformation pointed out to a world that still needs reforming? Jesus laid it out for us right in the text. If the Son, not just any Son, if the Son of God sets you free, you are free. That was the joy that Martin Luther came to discover as God guided him through the Word and granted him the Holy Spirit to believe in what the Word really says. It wasn't about what day of the week people thought it was. It wasn't that casual. And it wasn't pretending. It was in the Scriptures that God taught a man called Martin Luther this is the core truth of it all, that God sent his only begotten Son, and through him, through his suffering, through his death, through his keeping the law, through his taking the punishment in our place, not only just ours, but once and for all, that gospel, that good news sets us free. Free from the wrath of God, free from eternal condemnation. That gospel is the greatest truth that the world will ever hear, will ever know, and for some will believe. We're always looking for greater enlightenment. We're always looking for the newest technology. We're always looking for the greatest medical gadget. And these are, they serve their purpose. But it's not the greatest truth. The greatest truth is that if Jesus Christ sets you free, you are free. And it makes a world of difference for the believer to trust that truth by the power of faith, because that too is the working of God. None of us got to vote on Super Tuesday, you want Jesus as your Savior or somebody else? Because there was nobody else on God's ballot. There was no other choice that was real. every write-in, every fill-in that the world's been doing since, whether you want to call it Buddha, Muhammad, whatever you want to fill it in, whatever has been filled in history, we're all fakes. There's only one Savior. And when you're in worship like today, you think, well, duh. You know, that's why we're here. But if you think about it, how often we leave this house of God and then we act captive again. We consider ourselves powerless in face of sin and temptation. We become the Flip Wilsons of the 2016 year. You know, the devil made me do it. I couldn't help myself. You know, we become enslaved when we believe that we are hostage to certain choices and behaviors and certain kinds of thinking. Medically, we call them addictions, or psychologically, emotionally, we call them addictions. And in our world today, you know, we try to treat those clinically, but we are powerless to be freed from the things that hold us hostage, from our sinful nature and the sin around us in the world. But it is Christ who is not powerless. You know, it was amazing in the 1960s, within the context of what was called the Christian church, Jesus is Lord, 90-some% or better would check that off. And in today's world, the surveys have a lot less. You know what the truth is today? All roads go to the same place. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And people can believe what they want, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. These are lies. We are no longer in the realm of truth. Becomes real difficult, doesn't it? How do we make it through the day? Again, Jesus told you, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that means you're free in the face of a Super Tuesday to have hope that God is still in charge. You're free that you don't have to be held hostage by sinful behaviors, but Christ has died for you. And there is a power and a strength and a renewing that he gives us because of his cross and resurrection. You are free to love the unlovable. You are free to show God's grace when people aren't very kind to you. You are free by the power of the gospel to live rejoicing even when you may have an illness, you may have financial issues and stresses, you may be living in poverty, your job may be in jeopardy. Whatever the challenges are, and they are challenges, there is a victory. There's a victory that is guaranteed to you. And also in Romans, it tells us that victory, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. You are free. Free from God's wrath. Free to be loved, not because you've done it right or you will be doing it right, but free because of God's grace. The Son of God, the inheritor of all things, the ruler of all things, the one who's that name, his name, every knee should bow. By the name of Jesus Christ, you are free. Just turn to each other and go, free. Go ahead. Man, y'all sounded really convinced. I know this is Lutheran, okay? And we don't get too excited, okay? Do you believe you're free?
Yes.
Yeah. We are free. Not because a guy named Martin Luther said so. Did you know, and I'm not going to say this too loud, Martin was wrong on some things. His journey of faith was sort of like parenting. You know, with the first child, you're in a learning curve. And when he got into the scriptures, he would draw some conclusions that weren't the really best. And it's great to read him from beginning of his writings to the end of the writings to see how much he grew in that time. And it's a wonderful journey. It's a journey like ours. We're free in Christ, and we're not always certain about what it means. And so in our journey, we learn by faith about the power of the gospel and how it is used and how God works it in us and how God works it through us to impact the lives of people around us. On Friday, I was up at the National Cemetery off of Gallatin Pike. Maybe you've been there. I did an internment, the fellow's name is Roy. And when I met Roy, he was in the hospital here. He was on a ventilator. And so Roy and I did not have a conversation. And so before we began with prayer, I said, you know, the family already knew I was the new guy. You know, I just simply said, tell me how you saw Christ in Roy. I said, because y'all can tell stories about growing up and his humor and the gags. He was a prankster. You know, he loved a good laugh. And you could tell those stories. But you know, the one that lasts forever is the stories about where we saw Christ. Because when we stand before the throne of God, that's what we're celebrating, aren't we? The love of Christ to us and through us to one another. You are free in Christ to be the presence of Christ, not only for your own household, but for one another. And that is a powerful mission, isn't it? And for us Lutherans, it empowers us not to be so grumpy, because the truth has set us free. It is the power to rejoice. It is the power to give thanks. It is the power to speak the truth with love, and it is the power to be merciful to those who just don't believe. It is the power and the strength that helps us get us through the day, and it is the power to point to the Lord, giving him credit at the end of the day before we go to sleep. The truth sets you free. I'm free. How about you? Amen.